Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Zayin. We are holding on the very top of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph at the top line of the page. Yesh Yad Litzdaka. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha. It's also sponsored by Avishai Newman, Le'ili Nishmas, his uncle, Meir Ben Mendel, who was just Nifta last week. It's also sponsored by Misha Feldman for a full and speedy Refuah Shleima for Golda Shavcha Devora Bas Naomi Dina. She should have Refuah Shleima Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are in the middle of the sugya of Yados, and not just about Yados of Nedarim, but we started to discuss yesterday whether there's a Yad, whether there's a din of Yad when it comes to other areas of Halacha. So what we're going to talk about today, so Amud Aleph is going to continue that discussion. We're going to talk about, is there a din of Yad when it comes to Tzedakah? Is there a din of Yad when it comes to Hefker? Is there a din of Yad when it comes to Beis HaKisei? Once we're on the topic of Beis HaKisei, we're going to talk about whether designating something as a Beis HaKisei is enough to give it the status and the restrictions of a Beis HaKisei, or does it have to first be used as a Beis HaKisei in order to have the restrictions of a Beis HaKisei? We're going to talk about the Lashon of Menuda Anilach, where Rabbi Akiva was Chochech Lahachmir. What does that exactly mean, that Rabbi Akiva is Chochech Lahachmir when one uses the Lashon of Menuda Anilach? And then Amud Beis is going to talk all about Nidui, where we're going to talk about the difference between being Menada, a person in front of their face, and being Menada, a person not in front of their face. We're going to talk about what you would be Menada, a person for, why a person would deserve to be placed in Nidui, what would have to happen in order for him to be placed in Nidui, things of this nature, many details about Nidui. So Amud Aleph is all about Yados, Amud Beis all about Nidui. So now we move on, so let's begin on the top line of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, and we've already discussed Yados as far as two other areas of Halacha outside of Nedarim. We discussed Yad as far as Kiddushin and Yad as far as Peah. Now the Gemara says, Yesh Yad Litzdaka, O Ein Yad Litzdaka. This is presumably still Rav Papa that is expressing these sveikos, these questions. When a person is makabel on himself to give tzedakah, and he says so, but he doesn't use a dibor that is a dibor shalem, he only says half of a sentence, does he have a chiyuv of tzedakah midin yados? Or maybe not. Even yad mochicha maybe doesn't work. And again, when we talk about whether there is yados in these other areas of halacha, we're not talking about yadayim sheina mochichos. We're saying just the din of yados at all, even yadayim mochichos. Is there such a din of yad when it comes to tzedakah? Is there even a din of a yad mochiach when it comes to tzedakah? Shittim Gubetzis quotes the Re'eim. He says, well, what difference does it make if there's no yad l'tzedakah? Tzedakah l'chore is chal even b'machshava, without any dibor. The Gemara Masecha Shavuos has a drasha, kol nediv leiv, that once you're gomar b'libo to be mafrish tzedakah, you become chayiv to give the tzedakah. So you shouldn't even need a dibor at all. So what kind of conversation is there? Yad l'tzedakah? Is there not yad l'tzedakah? You don't even need to say anything. So he says, maybe Gamar Belibos only if you're absolutely, with absolute conviction, you make the decision Belibo. Then you become chayv to give tzedakah. But over here we're talking about where it wasn't with absolute conviction, but it was a statement. He said some sort of sentence, but he wasn't absolutely certain that he wanted to do this. Now this idea of yad of machshava for tzedakah that the Gemara does not discuss is a major issue in poskim. The Rama writes in Yaradeya and Simon Reish Nun Ches, he quotes a machlokas haposkim, if a person is choshev belibo to give tzedakah, is he mechayv himself, or maybe a machshava doesn't mean anything, and as long as he was not motzi bepiv, as long as he didn't verbalize anything, he's not chayv anything. And the Ramaz Machriya, that with machshava alone, a person is chayv to give tzedakah. That even with just machshava. So some explain the Rama based on what the Arachayim HaKadosh writes on the Pasuk, Kasher Dibarta Bepicha. It says that the Pasuk is, when it says, They explain it based on the pasuk Yofa Shemayim Yoluch Hasakol, that when a person is choshev bedaito, when a person has a machshava, very often his lips start to move without him even realizing it, and that's asher dibarta bepicha, because even though he didn't, he only had a machshava, his picha, his piv, his peh starts to be medaber that which he was choshev, and that's why it says beficha. And you see from there that someone who's choshev litein staka, we have to be choshesh that he was motzi mipiv whatever he had a machshava for, and that's why he has a chiyuv to be mekayim his machshava. That some of the achronim say that when the Rama says that a machshava is binding for tzedakah, it's not that a machshava is binding for tzedakah, it's that when a person has a machshava, we're choshesh that it was more than a machshava, we're choshesh that he actually moved his lips, that he actually said something. However, the Das Eish writes that the Rama is not talking about everyone who has a machshava to give tzedakah. It's talking about when you're motzi b'sfasav that you'll give tzedakah, you just didn't say how much. And then you had a machshava about the amount. So in Pischei Tshuva, they quote this Das Eish, that even the Rama doesn't mean that if you just have a fleeting thought to give tzedakah, or even an absolute thought to give tzedakah, that you're going to be obligated to do so. Rather, says the Tshuvas Das Eish, it means that if you say, I commit to give tzedakah, and in your mind you had a dollar amount to give, then that becomes binding, because there was dibur, it just wasn't dibur on a particular dollar amount. So a lot of times that's a huge nafkamina, because a lot of times, you know, you're davening a shul and you see an ani or someone walking by and collecting, you're thinking, oh, you know, or he makes a speech at the end of davening or something saying what he's collecting for, and you feel terribly for the person, you think, oh, I'm going to give to him as soon as I finish davening, as soon as I wrap my tefillah, and then you turn around and he's gone. So now what? You already had a machshava that you're going to give the tzedakah. Now you can't even find him. So if you assume like the pashtus of the Rama, you're in trouble. You got to actually do it. But if you assume like the Das Eish in his interpretation of the Rama, no, as long as you didn't say anything, then you're okay. But even according to the Das Eish, you're sitting at a parlor meeting or something, and they make an appeal for tzedakah, and you say, I'm going to give. I'm going to take care. But and you had in mind, I'm going to give $1,000. And then afterwards you're thinking, I don't know, 500 sounds like a nice number also, you know, and so the even according to the Das Eish, you'd be chayiv to give $1,000. I remember I was once discussing this with Shaila, with Rav Shechter, about tzedakah, about machshava for tzedakah, and I took it as like a davar pashut, that we don't, that if you didn't say anything explicitly, that you're not really going to be chayiv in anything. And he said, no, the Rama says you are. I said, but Pischei Tshuva quotes the Das Eish, the Guli Marshal quotes the Das Eish. No one seems to argue on it. It seems to be like the accepted opinion. He says, I don't think it's the accepted opinion. He was much more machmir about it. But on the page of Shulchan Aruch, the impression you get from the Nosei Kelim is that they do accept this opinion of the Das Eish. The Makar Chaim in his Hagolos and Shulchan Aruch Chaim asks, according to those poskim, that if you're choshev b'liva litein staka, that you have to give what you were choshev. So he asks the question that we just pointed out, that Shidum Gwetz asked, what's the nafkamina, whether it's a yad litztaka or not a yad litztaka? Clearly you had a machshava. So the Beis Shlomo suggests that there's a chilik between a person who wants to take a neder to be mischayev b'tztaka b'pem malei, where you need dibor mamish, and in such a case where the intention is to be mechayev yourself through dibor, then machshava doesn't work to be mechayev him, because you're not trying to be mechayev yourself through machshava, and therefore we can get into the discussion of yad litztaka, as opposed to a person who has no intention of speaking at all, and his entire hischaivos only being through machshava, then it happens through machshava. So what do you do in that situation where the ani is there and you have a machshava that you're going to give him something, and you turn around and now he's not there anymore? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky discusses this in Derech Amuna, and he writes in the name of the Chazanish in Derech Amuna, Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, where you should give that same tzedakah to a different ani, because you already choshev to give tzedakah. But in the Tshuvas Avnei Yashba, they quote in the name of Rav Yashiv that you don't need to give the money to tzedakah, Because your whole machshav was only al das that ani, and if that ani is not there anymore, then you're going to be potter. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Alicha Shlomo, they quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman that a person should be careful not to be gomer belev, or to be gomer belev that you don't have kavana to be mezaka the money to the ani until he's actually there right in front of you and you're able to interact with him. And he quotes a mice over there that in Halicha Shlomo, one of the beautiful things about the Sefer Halicha Shlomo is they don't only tell you halachos that Rav Shlomo Zalman said and hanhaga, they tell you stories about Rav Shlomo Zalman, which is really nice. It's a treasure because it was written by his grandchildren, so they all grew up around the house. They all have all these mice left with Rav Shlomo Zalman. So it says there was a mice that an ani passed by Rav Shlomo Zalman, didn't take anything, and Rav Shlomo Zalman went after him to track him down, to give him the money. And he said that he always has das that the tzedakah should not be tzedakah until he actually gets into the hands of the ani, until he actually hands it to him. But in that case, he already handed tried to hand the ani the money, and the ani was blind and he didn't see. So the ani walked away. So that's where Shlomo Zalman felt he absolutely has to track him down, because then he has the hachlata in his das that he's going to give the tzedakah. So that was, I remember the shayla I was asking Rosh Hashanah, I discussed it here at Shalosh Shuvos once, was the woman who thought her daughter's diamond earrings were lost. So she said, Remeir Balanes, I'm going to give tzedakah. And she had in mind she was going to give $3,600 to Remeir Balanes. And then her daughter told her, the earrings aren't lost, they're in my drawer over there. So she wanted to know whether she's chayiv to give that tzedakah. And she never said $3,600. She said, she didn't say anything. She had a machshava that she was going to give. So I said, according to the Das Eish, no problem. There was no neder al tzedakah. She only had a machshava that she was going to give $3,600. So Rav Shechta said, no, that would be binding. He said, in that case, she doesn't have to give anyway, because the whole thing was betos. She thought they were lost, and they weren't really lost. The whole thing was betos. But anyway, so yesh yad l'tzedakah, ein yad l'tzedakah. We're like 5 words into the daf. Yesh yad l'tzedakah, ein yad l'tzedakah. So is there a yad l'tzedakah, or is there no din of yad when it comes to tzedakah? Say, echidami, what exactly is the case? If you say about one dollar that this zuz should go to tzedakah, and then you have another dollar and you say vade nami, but you don't say nami luat, you just say hade nami, well, that's certainly a lashon gamur of the tzedakah. That's not a yad. That for sure is going to work, because when you say hadin nami or also this, it's as if you're saying and this is also for tzedakah. That's critical. A lot of these lashonos come up when it comes to people trying to figure out what's called remisa b'derech tzivu or remisa shlo b'derech tzivu when it comes to amir la'akum. Right? So a lot of times people think that if you say, I want to turn on the light, but I can't, can you do it? You know, they think that the it is turning on the light. That's not remisa. That's amira mamish that a person is doing. So just because you're using an adjective or whatever but the subject was just mentioned 2 words before, so that's considered that you're saying it. So ella kigon da amar hadein v'lo amar nami. You said vadein, but you didn't say nami. So my, what's the din? Do we say a din of yad l'tzedakah or not? Hadei nami tzedakah ka'amar. Do we assume that you meant that this should also be tzedakah? Dilma, my hadein nafkusa bialma ka'amar. Maybe what did he mean that hadein that it should be nafkusa bialma? It should be for whatever, for the expenses of his household. Udiburu hu de lo aske, and he just didn't get a chance to finish the sentence. So maybe there is no din yad of tzedakah, and even though it's a yad mochiach, and we certainly have a 98% chance that what he meant is that the second dollar should go to the tzedakah, but there is a tzad rachok, there is a possibility that he didn't mean tzedakah, so maybe he meant that it should go to pay his household expenses, and he has no other money for his household expenses aside for this, the Rush points out, and the fact that he didn't say it is just because, a person doesn't always finish his sentences, so maybe the din of tzedakah is not chal on that zuz, and it remains chulin just as it was before. So the Gemara now explains the tzdadim of the suffix. The Torah tells us, That if a person says something, you have to follow up, follow through on your word. The pasuk is not talking is about not being ma'acher, not delaying in being mekayim that which you say. And a neder and a dava that are mentioned in the pasuk are not just any neder and dava; they're karbanos, where you're mechayiv yourself by being motzi b'piv. And the word b'ficha that it says in the pasuk Chazal Darshan is a reference to tzedakah. So in that sense, tzedakah is hukash the karbanos. There's some sort of link between, in the pasuk itself, between tzedakah and karbanos. So the Gemara says, "Mi amrinan kivin de iskash le karbanos, dichsiv b'ficha zot tzedakah." Do we assume that since tzedakah has a hekesh to karbanos, because after all it says b'ficha, and we darshan that means tzedakah, so maybe as far as yados as well, ma karbanos yesh le'en yad, ab tzedakah yesh le'yad. Just like there's a din of yad when it comes to karbanos, there's a din of yad when it comes to tzedakah as well. Oh, Dilma, or maybe since it doesn't say tzedakah explicitly in the pasuk, le'bal ta'achru di iskish, that the hekesh between tzedakah and karbanos is only about bal ta'acher, and not about yados. Rabbi Kiv Eger and Gilyan Shas points out that the Ran writes on Daf Avam Beis, when he's explaining the suffix about Yad L'Kiddushin, do we learn Kiddushin from a Mematzinu from Nidarim, or can we have a Pircha on such a Binyan Av? That Malin Nidarim Achamurim, because they're Chal B'Dibur without Maisa. So, but that's the Tzad suffix when it comes to Kiddushin. Is it that we learn it with the Mematzinu, or maybe they're not a perfect match to learn a Mematzinu one from the other? So according to that, says Rabbi Kivyag, Tzedakah, even though it's Chal B'Dibur alone, we should certainly be able to learn it, meaning tzedakah, which is also chal b'dibur alone, like a karban, and you don't have that mismatch that you'd have by kiddushin. Meaning the whole reason not to learn kiddushin from karbanos is that karbanos are chal b'chiv of a karbanos chal b'dibur. Kiddushin is not only chal b'dibur, you have to do a maisa as well. Well, tzedakah is also chal b'dibur, so it would be a perfect match. Why can't we learn it from a mematzinu, from nedarim, that just like nedarim has yad, so too tzedakah has yad. I don't need a hekesh. Meaning, what's the Gemara asking over here? Is the hekesh complete? Is the hekesh only about the din of Baal Ta'acher? Forget the hekesh. If you didn't have a hekesh, you would have what to learn. So the Achronim work on it. They work on trying to answer Rabbi Kiveger's kasha, which is always a challenge. So that's the kasha that Rabbi Kiveger asks. Now the Ran points out that since tzedakah is not the ferish in the pasuk, it's only a yisur in the pasuk. That's the basis of the Gemara suffik. That maybe there's no meaning. What kind of question is this? Do we derive from the hekesh between tzedakah and karbanos that there's a din of yad by tzedakah, or do we only derive the din of bal ta'acher? There's a klal in shas, ein hekesh lemechza, that if you make a hekesh, the hekesh teaches you all of the dinim. You don't make a hekesh for only mechza. So the Ran, which seems like a yisurah stick around, it seems like a klal that could be applied throughout shas, the Ran writes, ein hekesh lemechza is only when the two things are both explicit in the pasuk. If one of the things is only derived from a drasha, but it's not explicit, b'ficha zot tzedakah, but it's not explicit in the pasuk, then we don't apply the principle of ein hekesh lemechza. Tosus writes that there are a lot of things in the pasuk that have different dinim from each other, and clearly the hekesh in this pasuk is not meant to be full-fledged, because each word in the pasuk refers to something else. You know, l'Hashem Elokecha is damim and arachin and charam and akdeshos, doroshi d'shenu, chatos, Hashem osolos ushlamim, Hashem Elokecha, tzedakos, maishos, pecharos. It refers to like a million different things in that pasuk. It's the pasuk about Baal Ta'acher. Baal Ta'acher is on so many different things. You can't say ein hekesh lemechza in that pasuk, because all of those dinim have different details. That's how Tosus says it. Less klaliastik. The Ran is making a klal that whenever it's only through a drasha, then you're not going to apply the principle of ein hekesh lemechza. Okay, so that is the discussion by tzedakah. So now that Rav Papa has a fourth area where he's not sure whether there's a din of yados. Yesh yad lehefker odilma ein yad lehefker. Person says this object should be hefker, and then he says about another object vizeh. So that's a yad mochiach that he means to be mafker the second object as well. So Says Gemara, what kind of suffix? Hainu tzedakah. It's the same issue. Person who's mafkir is mamon, so he's mafkir in order to be mezakeh to aniyim, probably. So isn't that the same thing as tzedakah? Right? Meaning hefker is really just a form of tzedakah that's less directed. But when you make something hefker, who's going to go pick something up off the side of the street? It's only people who are in need that are going to go rummaging and picking things up off the side of the street. Typically, it's just for aniyim. So imtim tzalomar kamar. No, it's an imtim tzalomar. Imtim tzalomar yesh yad l'tzedakah. If you're going to say this, yesh yad l'tzedakah, because the hekesh between tzedakah and karbanos is a full hekesh and there's no hekesh l'mechza, but still we have a suffix when it comes to hefker. Mi aminon haynu tzedakah. The one side is to say that it's the same thing as tzedakah. Odim l'shayni tzedakah tzedakah l'chazia el l'aniyim avel hefker bein l'aniyim bein l'ashirim. Maybe typically the people who pick up things that are hefker are going to be aniyim, but it doesn't have to be. When you make something hefker, it's hefker bein la aniyim bein la ashirim. When you make something hefker, it's hefker for anybody. So maybe hefker has a different din than tzedakah. And now the fifth and final shaila about yados. Beis hakisei. The halacha is that beis hakisei, even if there's no tzoa currently in the beis hakisei, you're not allowed to say dvarim shebekdusha, you're not allowed to read kriyas shma, you're not allowed to daven. In the beis hakisei, you're not allowed to speak divrei Torah, you're not even allowed to be maharher divrei Torah in a beis hakisei, because the pasuk says v'haya machanecha kadosh. That was a discussion about whether our beis hakisei fits that criteria, that you're not allowed to be maharher divrei Torah even in our beis hakisei, because our beis hakisei is very clean. The Gemara talks about beis hakisei shel parsim, where the tzoa immediately is drained out, is goes out of the beis hakisei. Some say ours is even better. Can you imagine? You think the beis hakisei before indoor plumbing, no matter what system they set up for the tzoa to roll out, was cleaner than our beis hakisei, or on the other side, what the Gemara seems to be describing about a beis hakisei, even where the tzoa leaves immediately, is that they made some sort of they built it in some sort of way where there's an angle and a tunnel, and as soon as a person relieves himself, the tzoa never sits there, never stays. Whereas in our beis hakisei, it stays until you flush. So maybe our beis hakisei is worse. So that's a discussion in poskim: is our beis hakisei better? Is our beis hakisei worse? I think the minhag poskim is to assume that we try to be machmir, but our beis hakisei is much better than the beis hakisei as far as what you're allowed to do, being mahar b'divrei Torah and things of that nature. So certainly, a person is actually relieving himself, or there's actual tzoa there, nothing to discuss. But if a person happens to be in the bathroom and he's brushing his teeth and everything is clean and it smells like roses and whatever, because you have all these air fresheners and cleaning products and whatever, so then people are more makel. So the shas hachak to wash in the beis hakisei, to wash in tilis yadayim or something like that, is probably not the end of the world. Rav Willig even passed in for my talmidim when we went to Moresh HaKolel that you can listen to shiurim while you're in the shower. Be mahar b'divrei Torah. Now, you shouldn't speak divrei Torah, but you can be mahar b'divrei Torah, he says. So I don't know, don't bring your iPhone into the shower. It must be you have a waterproof case or something. But that's what he passed. So the shaila about beis hakisei is by Ravina. Yesh yad beis hakisei. If a person designates bidibur, but not in a full dibur, a particular makom to be a beis hakisei, does it become a beis hakisei with yados alone, or maybe without a full dibur where you're designating something as a beis hakisei, it does not become a beis hakisei. So hechidami, what exactly is the case? If you say that this room should be a beis hakisei v'hadeinami, and then you identify another room also, sahu beis hakisei nami hava. So that one, that clearly is not just a yad, that's a dibur gavur. That's saying v'hadeinami should be a beis hakisei. Elagon d'amar v'hadein v'lomer nami. Similar to what we said before, you said v'hadein, but you didn't say nami. Mai, so then what's the din? Is there a din of yad beis hakisei? And since it's yad mochiach, we know clearly you want to be miyachid that makom for a beis hakisei. Hadin d'amar v'adin nami beis hakisei. The adin that he said means hadein should be a beis hakisei. Oh, Dilmor, maybe no. Maybe there's no yad the beis hakisei. And since you didn't say it straight out, my v'adin, l'tashmi should be alamakamar. V'adin means it should be a place where I should be able to do things that I need to do. But it has nothing to do with the beis hakisei. It could mean that you mean to say this is a beis hakisei v'adin, and that's my office. That's something else. That other room is something else. So it says more, Mechlal, the Pshit, the Ravina, the Yeshim, the Beis Hakisei. The whole question presumes that if you were to say Bepeh Mele, that this room should be a Beis HaKisei, that would be enough to designate it as a Beis HaKisei and give it the restrictions of a Beis HaKisei. And at that point already, even though it's never been used, you were just masmin it as a Beis HaKisei, it would be also to say Kriya Shema and other Devarim Shabbat Kedusha in such a room. Paras Yosef raises the question, how does the Gemara know that Ravina is sure about that, that there's Zimun LeBeis HaKisei? It could be he had a suffix in a place where it was Nasa B'Maisa, whether the Dibur has a din of yad for zimun, because a maisa alone is not enough. You need a maisa with a zimun, with a being masminit for a Beis HaKisei. Meaning, who says that he never did anything? Maybe they installed the toilet and then he used one of these expressions so you need both, a maisa plus. So how do we know that Ravina thinks just designating alone with words is enough? But okay, that's a kasha for Paras Yosef. But the Gemara clearly makes that assumption that it's pshita le Ravina that there is a din of zimun by a Beis HaKisei. Didn't Ravina raise this as a shaila? His mina the Beis HaKisei, if you designate an area to be used as a Beis HaKisei, but you have not yet actually used it as a Beis HaKisei, mahu? His mina the Beis HaMerchatz, if you designate an area as a Beis HaMerchatz, where you also have certain restrictions in the Beis HaMerchatz, mahu? So is that enough to give it all the restrictions of a Beis HaMerchatz? The Tosfos points out that there's a girsa that takes out the words his mina lebeis hamerchatz mahu, because the maskana of the Gemara and Shabbos is that the whole suffix is only beis hakisei where there's zuama meruba. Beis hakisei is particularly gross, but a beis hamerchatz is pashut that zimun does not work for a beis hamerchatz. Tosfos further writes that maybe you could keep the girsa because Ravina had the suffix by beis hamerchatz, but this suffix was ultimately nifshat lekula, meaning maybe Ravina did have the suffix and then it was resolved in Masechta Shabbos, but the suffix about Beis HaKisei remained in Ibaya de Lo Ifshito, remained the suffix that was never resolved. It could also be that Ravina is not the one that's mesupik about the Beis HaMerchatz. The Gemara is throwing in that we also are mesupik about a Beis HaMerchatz. But either way, for Beis HaKisei, we for sure have this shayla. Zimun Mo'el, Oein Zimun Mo'el, that Ravina himself had the shayla. So how could Ravina take it for granted that Zimun works for a Beis HaKisei, where Ravina himself had a suffix whether Zimun works for a Beis HaKisei? So says Gemara, Ravina chadamigol chadakami bayulei. Ravina had two shaylas, he had two sfeikos about the etzem din of zimun and about if you need zimun, how is it done? So one suffix comes from the other one. He only came on to the second suffix in the context of the first one. So first, zimun mo'el away and zimun mo'el. His first suffix was to designate something as a Beis HaKisei. Does that already give it the status of Beis HaKisei or not? And imtum tzulam yesh zimun yesh yad oein yad. And if you're going to assume that verbally designating something as a Beis HaKisei is binding, so then he had a further shayla whether there's yesh yad or ein yad. So the Gemara says that as far as all the sfeikos that we discussed, as far as yad for kiddushin, for peya, for tzedakah, for hefker, for Beis HaKisei, it remains a suffix. They were never able to poshate these sfeikos in the Beis HaMedrash. So that's how the Gemara always ends when it doesn't have an answer, right? Tibayulei. No, the Gemara never does that. The Gemara always says teku at the end. But this, we're in Nedarim land. And in Nedarim, the Lashonos of Nedarim are always Meshuna. That's what Tosfos points out. We always have different expressions in Nedarim. So Tibayulei is the Nedarim version of teku. It's like learning Yerushalmi, where you have to like relearn a whole language. So la halacha, how do we paskin in all these things? So each one is discussed. By yad l'kiddushin, we say sveik darais l'chumah, so you got to be machmir. By suffik yad l'peil tzedakah, the Rif, the Ramban, the Rashba writes that we go l'chumah as well because it's suffik iser. The Ran says suffik mamun aniim. It's a suffik mamun, not a suffik iser. Suffik mamun the halacha is l'kula. Right? Whenever you have a suffik in mamun, we say masam yichaver alof harayas. What do you mean? It's a suffik in dini mamunus. So that's the discussion in the Rishonim in those cases of peya and tzedakah and things like that. So each one has to be discussed separately and is discussed separately by the poskim. Okay, now Vayter in the Gemara. So now the Mishnah said menuda anilach, that if a guy says menuda anilach and then he adds sha'ani ochalach, So Rabbi Akiva was chochech bazel lahachmir. So the Gemara explains, what does Rabbi Akiva mean? Amar Abaye, moda Rabbi Akiva li'inyan malchus. Even though Rabbi Akiva was machmir, he's moda as far as malchus, she'en aloka, that if a person violates such a neder, he does not get malchus for the love of lo yachel devaro, because Rabbi Akiva was only machmir misafik. Because if the halacha were that it's a full-fledged isur that you'd get malchus for, that it wasn't misafik, that it was betoris vadai, that you can get malchus, nisni Rabbi Akiva machmir. Then let it just say Rabbi Akiva machmir. And it would mean that he saw good reason to be machmir as a real neder gamur, and the fact that he says that the Mishnah says chocheich lahachmir sounds like he wasn't really so sure about it. It wasn't a clear-cut chumra. That's how the Rush explains. The Tosos explains that the Diyuk of the Gemara is from the Arichos of the Lashon, not from the particular word that was chosen. It's not about the word chochech, but it's just the fact that we were just throwing extra words in there. The Rishonim asked Tosos the question: why isn't the Gemara just medayik from the Shinoi Halashon instead of saying Aser, he says machmir, chochech lahachmir, which is very different than aser. So Tosfos says better diuk from the arichus of the lashon than from a shinoi in the lashon. That the arichus of the lashon is so uncharacteristic of a mishnah to be ma'arich in the lashon that the only lamid adam in the talmid of b'derech katzara was a klal gadol by Chazal by the mishnayos, that they always try to identify the derech katzara. So whenever the mishnayos seem unduly wordy, then there's always something to be medayik. Much better than being medayik from a change of from a turn of phrase, from a change of terminology. Now the Mishnah mentions the din of menuda in the name of Rabbi Akiva, but the implication is that if we're saying Rabbi Akiva is chochech lahachmir, that the chacham disagree with him. So I'm Rav Papa, benedina minach. If a person says nedina minach shani ochalach, something like that, he uses such a lashon. Or Nadrina, the Sheet of Gretz's quotes an expression, to Kuliyam lo pligi dasu. Then everyone's going to agree that even the Chamer are going to agree that it's Asr that he gets Malchus, because that Lashon is like any other Yad for Nadarim that we said in the Mishnah, Modarni, Mufrashni, Muruchakni. So here also it would mean that he's Asring himself from benefiting from his friend. Mishamtana, if you use the Lashon of Shamta, Minach, Lukuli al Mashari. Everyone's going to say he's Mutter, even Rabbi Akiva is going to be Mutter that it's Mutter, because that's just the Lashon of Nidui Bialma. He never said an Isra of Neder at all. So the Maikpili, what's the case where the Chacham and Rabbi Kiva disagree? The Menuda Anilach, only if you use the expression, the exact expression that's mentioned in the Mishnah of Menuda Anilach. That's where you have a Machlokes. The Rabbi Kiva Savar Lishna Dinidu Yehu. Rabbi Akiva says it's a Lashon of just being Marchik, that he just wants to Aser himself from eating his friend's stuff, and that's why it's Aser. Rabbanan Savar Lishna Dimashamtanahu, that it's a Lashon of Nidui, that it's the derech of people to use such a Lashon only by a Nidui. So it's not a Dibur of a Neder at all, and therefore we're Matir. So the Gemara brings the Deya that Rabbi Kiva and the Chamim disagree about something else as well, not only in the Lashon Menuda Nilach. Upliga, Rav Papa disagrees in his explanation to Rav Chista on the explanation of Rav Chista of the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. How is he, Rav Papa, arguing on Rav Chista? Tahu Gavra, because there was a story of a particular fellow, the Amar Mishamatna b'nichsei debrei, the Rabbi Yirmiyah Baraba, that asked himself the lashon of Mishamatna from the Nechasim of Rabbi Yirmiyah Baraba's son. So the Noder came to Rav Chista to ask him whether the Neder is Chal, and Amalei Rav Chista told the Noder, lest the Chashla lahad Rabbi Akiva. Don't worry, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, no one's Choshesh Roshitas Rabbi Akiva is Machmir. So what do you see from there? Chasav Meshamat Napligi. From the fact that Rav Chista says, oh, what you just did is subject to the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, and don't worry, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. That implies that Rav Chista held that the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, is even on the Lashon of Meshamatna, not only on the Lashon of Menuda Anilach. Once we're talking about Nidui, let's talk about Nidui. So that's what the transition over here is. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rav, Nidahu Bifanav, Ein matira lo ela b'fanav. If you were menada a certain person, and nidui is a form of cherim, you can only be menada that cherim lechadchila in front of his face. That if you're matir at shalom b'fanav, we have to be choshesh that he's not going to know that you were matir the nidui. And when he sees that people are not knowing toward him as if he's a nidui, he's going to assume that they're being mezalzel in the halachos of nidui. He's going to assume that the nidui had no teeth to it. Because we're going to get up in shul one day when he's not there and say, we're matir the nidui on this person. Now all of a sudden people are doing business with him and they're giving him aliyos next time he comes to shul and everything like that. He's going to assume that people just aren't observing the nidui. Nido shalom b'fanav matir lo ben b'fanav ben shalom b'fanav. But if the nidui was implemented shalom b'fanav, then it could be lifted shalom b'fanav as well. So other dinim of nidui, Amar Chan Amar Rav, Hashomea Skaris Hashem Mipi Chavero. If you hear the mention of the Shem Hashem Levatala from somebody else, so someone who said the Shem Hashem b'mezid, so it was Chil Hashem that the person did. If it's B'lashon Laz, there's a discussion, or if it's with a kinoy, there's a whole discussion whether you need to be minad to him. But we're talking about the real Shem Hashem, so tzarech l'nadosa. Then you have to put him in nidoy because he's in violation of the pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. That's what the Ran points out, that the Gemara Maseches Brachos writes that if you mevarich brachos shein etzricha, it's a violation of Lasisa Shem Hashem Elokecha L'shav. And Rav Chaygon and the Ramban al Torah write that when you're masking Shem Shemayim Levatala, it's also a violation of Losisa. That's a major discussion in the poskim. Being masking Shem Shemayim Levatala is for sure a violation of Losisa, because you're saying Shem Hashem Levatala. When you say a bracha Levatala, is that a violation of Losisa? So the Gemara says it is, but does the Gemara mean Midoraisa? Or is the Gemara just meaning that the pasuk is an asmachta, but a bracha Levatala is not really the same thing as Shem Shemayim Levatala? What would be the difference? Bracha Levatala, you're saying a full sentence that's true. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. Right? Meaning all of that is true, all of that is nice, it makes sense. It's a wonderful Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to just blurt out the Shem Hashem, that's being Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. So that's the discussion we showed him, where the Bracha Levatala is also Lo Sisa Midoraisa. But anyway, Vim Lo Nidahu, Hu Atzmo Yehe B'Nidui. And if you fail to be Menada, a person who says Shem Shemayim Levatala, then the guy who failed to react to it properly is in a Nidui. So it demands reaction when we hear Shem Hashem. Even when we hear Shem Hashem in a proper context, it demands reaction. We're supposed to respond. There's a response when we hear Shem Hashem. Wherever the Haskaras Hashem is taken lightly, you're going to find that there's poverty. And poverty is the equivalent to death. Because the pasuk says that Hashem told Moshe to go back to Mitzrayim because all of the people that are mevakshim es nefshecha had died. Now, who were those people? It was Dasan and Aviram who had reported on Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro. They hadn't died. It's just that this was they only died after the machlokas with Korach. But because they were yardu minichseihem, because they lost all their money, that's considered as if they were died. So the Gemara says we see that anius is chashav kamisa v'tanya from the following. Wherever the chacham or makbit to be manish a person, to punish a person, he'll either die or he'll become an ani. Meaning, once we see that the chumra of the yisur maskeh shem shemayim vatala, that it's anius is chashav kamisa, the chacham were more machmir by that than other over avera, and they said that if you're not minad to him, then the person himself is ra'ui for nidoy, and nidoy is the equivalent of a curse that a person should die, which could be fulfilled by becoming an ani. Amr Rabbi Abba, Havakayim Kamei de Rav Huna, Nisham Lahach Itza, the Afkas Karis Hashem Levatala. He said, you know, I was standing in front of Rav Huna, and there was a woman there who was Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. So Shamta, Visharila, Lialter Biapa. He immediately put her in a Nidui, and then immediately he lifted the Nidui right in front of her face. So Shemamina Tlas, you see three things from here. First of all, Shemamina, that Hashomei Askaris Hashem Yipi Chaveru Tzarech Lanadoso, that it demands a reaction. You hear Shem Hashem Levatala, you need to put the person in Nidui. nidui. Ushmami, now the second thing, from the fact that he was matir the nidui b'faneha, is that nido b'fanav ein matir lo ela b'fanav. The fact that he was matir b'faneha tells you that if you were minada someone in front of their face, you can only be matir the nidui in front of their face. The Achronim all asked, maybe that's just what he did. How do you know that that's what he had to do just because he was minada in front of her face? Ushmami, now, and we also see from the fact that he released her of the nidui immediately, that ein be nidui la'afara v'lo klum, that there doesn't have to be a time lapse between the nidui and the afara. You don't need to wait 30 days between the nidui and being matir the nidui. The nidui is coming to be mechaper for being motzi shem shem l'ayim v'vatala, and to frighten the person that they shouldn't, to discourage them from getting into this habit of being motzi shem shem l'ayim v'vatala. So just going through that fright of being put in nidui, you have to realize the nidui is not just, we're not going to do business with you, we're not going to give you an aliyah, because you can tell the person, we're not going to do business with you, we're not going to give you an aliyah. By the way, we are. A minute later, so he didn't lose any business, he didn't lose any aliyahs, he didn't lose any friends, he didn't lose, but in nidui is a curse that you should die. So, if someone tells somebody else, you should just drop dead already. Just kidding. It's still very jarring. You don't want to hear someone tell you that you should drop dead. So that's enough to shake the person up. When a Talmud Chacham realizes that he did something inappropriate and therefore he's deserving of nidui, he could be menad himself and then release himself of the nidui. So pshita, it's pasha that he could release himself. No, ma'od detema, ein chavash mater atzmo v'esa asurim kamash milan. I would have thought that someone who cannot release himself from Beis HaSurim, so Kamash Mulan, that he can release himself. Hey Chidami, what would be such an example? Ki Hatam Arshut Shechasida, Ki Mechayev Bar Be Rav Shamta, when someone was Chayev Shamta, Meshamet Nafshe Bereshu, he would first be Menadah himself, V'hadam Meshamet Bar Be Rav. Only then could he bring himself to be Menadah the Yeshiva Bachar. V'chi Ayel Beisei, when he came back home, Shari L'Nafshe, he released himself from the Nidoi, V'hadam Shari Lai, and then he would be Matir, the Talmud Chacham from the Nidoi. I mean, he had hurt him so much to put a Talmud Chacham in nidui, he would always self nidui first, and then put the other guy in nidui, and then release himself and release the Talmud Chacham from the nidui. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Gidol and Rav at the bottom of the page. Have a great day.
Have a nice one.
Yeah.
Thank you.